Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V26 Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Visit Lowe's and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 7/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
These days, I can do anything from my phone. Book a vacation, order a meal from a five-star restaurant, buy and trade stocks. But maybe the most amazing thing I can do is make my dirty laundry disappear and then reappear perfectly washed and folded. I have Rinse to thank for that. I just schedule a pickup in the Rinse app or at Rinse.com. A Rinse valet comes to get my clothes, and before I know it, they're back, crisply folded and ready to wear. They even do dry cleaning, which is returned hanging in a nice Rinse garment bag. And with Rinse, my satisfaction is guaranteed. If for any reason I'm not happy, they'll re-clean my clothes for free. Best of all, Rinse saves me tons of time each week. That's time I get to do something I love versus something I have to do. So if you want to save loads of time by not doing loads of laundry, remember, there's an app for that. Rinse. Sign up now and get $20 off your first order at Rinse.com. That's RINSE.com.
Let's have a nice cup of TRE in the afternoon with Hannah Murray.
Joining us on the line now is Ricardo Jimenez. He's a Puerto Rican and Barcelona-based writer and entrepreneur. His latest book is Crash Course, A Founder's Journey to Saving Your Startup and Sanity. Welcome to the show, Ricardo.
Thank you very much. I am so glad. I'm so honored to be in your show.
It's lovely to have you with us. And what a great idea writing this book, talking, not just giving people advice on how to do things right, but how to kind of overcome when things go wrong, because things didn't go particularly right for you with this company.
Yes, that's what I like to share. There's lots of books about companies and about building successful companies. I was not able to do that, but I know what the entrepreneur, the founder goes through in the attempt of doing that. And that is something that is very often very overlooked.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's nice to hear real stories of real people and real businesses when things don't go right. So tell us about Plushki, because I've had a little look online and I think it's a great idea.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I have a good old friend. His name is Juan, and we both wanted to start a company. We started exchanging ideas, and the idea that we ended up believing in was toys in the shape of countries. We wanted kids to learn about the world from their point of view of curiosity and education, and we thought that the best way to go about that would be for them to have friends from all over the world. So we created Toy Friends. And when we started selling, when we started going to market, things didn't go as we expected. We had this mentality of we're just going to focus on building the best product, and then we will build it, and the customers will come. But that didn't happen.
Yeah. So are you able to kind of look back and realize maybe not necessarily what you did wrong, but maybe what you could do differently in the future? Is that where the kind of book is coming from?
Yeah, there's lots of things. And the more I reflect on this, I think there's two different areas to look at this. One would be, let's call it the more technical, the one that has to do with company building. I think we could have de-risked the company, taken risk out of the company earlier. It doesn't make sense to create logistics and scale a company before you make sure that customers want the product that you have, or that at least you have identified who would be your ideal set of customers. And the other part that is the one that makes this book different and special is the humanity part. We forget that companies are built by people. When people try to accomplish something and they don't, they usually encounter lots of emotions, frustrations, fear, sadness, confusion. And this is where, again, this is the part that's different to this book, because I bring in this element to the equation, we tend to forget again that founders are humans, and I like to say that it's like as if in a Formula One race we forgot about the pilot. Yeah, we're trying to build the best car, but what happens with the pilot? And again, these are the lessons that are in the book. And more than anything, it's a companionship book for founders to be understood and for founders to be honored for trying to put something out there in the world that would never exist if it wasn't because of them.
Yeah. So lots of people will have, good ideas, but what they believe to be good ideas, let's say, you know, think, this would be a great toy, or this would be a great new drink, or whatever the product might be. How do they go from turning their good idea into a successful business? I mean, from the first point of view, what you mentioned, trying to work out whether people would actually be interested in the product. How do you find that out, and how do you kind of prove that? How do you know that you are going to sell enough of that product?
Well, I think it's a great question, and I guess to be completely fair, so I'm going to give you my thoughts, but this is exactly the part that I wasn't able to figure out. So I'm sure that there's other people. Yeah, this is what I wasn't able to do. But I think so. There's this thing called product market fit, in which you come up with an idea or a prototype, and then you want to get feedback as soon as possible from the potential market, and then you want to incorporate that feedback, you want to bring the product back to them, and then you also want to see how customers are using or not using it. And I think it's a very iterative process at the beginning to learn as much as possible from the customer, from how they're using it, what they value, and bring those features to the customer. Again, in my case, it was the opposite. We had this idea, and we went all in with this idea without having it validated. So the closer that you are to your potential customer, I think the quicker that you're going to learn, and the more successful you're going to be.
So are there businesses and websites and things that you can go onto to try and find out market research and to try and see who would be interested in buying your product?
Yes, there are many. I'm going to give you one name that was given to me because in the process of writing this book, because I was going back to being an entrepreneur again, and I wanted to understand what works, what doesn't. And in particular, I spent a lot of time thinking about the title and about the subtitle. Believe it or not, I went months going to bed thinking, well, this is the subtitle that I want, but it looks like my publisher thinks there's another subtitle that could work better. On one hand, I want to... It's my book and I want to honor what I feel, but on the other hand, the experts and they know better. Mm-hmm. So I will share a website. It's called Pickful that I was recommended. I tried it a couple of times. I don't think it solved my dilemmas, but it may help other people that may have similar kind of questions to get some initial answers of how their products are perceived.
Yeah. What was that? How do you spell that? Just in case people are listening.
I'm trying to find it. Pickful. Let's see. Pickful. Let's see if it's pickfickfu.com.
Ah, okay. Pickfickfu.com. Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
I guess the other thing is trying to understand what your motives are. You know, when you're creating a business, is this something that you're doing because you're really passionate yourself, or are you doing it just to make money, or, you know, that kind of thing is really important to understand.
Yeah. Yes, of course, everybody needs to understand not only why they start a business, but everything they do. And even for me, I went through this process later as I was writing the book about the business and the three reasons why we started this business. I guess going a little bit further back to when I grew up, there's a value that I always appreciated, which was freedom. And I thought entrepreneurship was my ticket to freedom, just to realize, as I share in the book, that and I hope this is doesn't sound too bad in your show, but I thought that it was going to be, this is a quote from the book. I think I say something along the lines of, I thought I was going to be completely free and at the top of the world, and I ended up becoming everyone's bitch. So that is to say, one of my values was I was looking for freedom, and I wanted to be an entrepreneur because I thought that was going to be one, the way to channel my creative expression, but two, bring value into the world. But three, if everything went right, get the rewards from that, and hopefully, yeah, be free to choose when I work and who I work with, because those are two very important things for me. And now, a few years later that I'm writing this book, one of the things that I get asked very often is, why writing a book that's so open, vulnerable? And again, I go back to feeling like an entrepreneur as well, because now what I am promoting, what I'm bringing to market is my new product, which is a book. And there's two reasons. Very soon after I closed the company, all these lessons, memories, emotions, from disappointment to joy to gratitude, everything was coming to me, and I started compiling everything in a Google Doc. And soon I had 200 ideas that that they were too much for a blog post, but I didn't think that I had enough clarity to write a book. But the main reason, and the second reason why I wrote the book, other than all these ideas and all this healing that came through processing the experience, was that this is the book that I wish I had when I was a founder. So I felt that in the same way that when I started the toy company, I wasn't exactly sure who I was building these toys for. So I liked the idea of the toy, but I wasn't sure who the market was. With the book, it was the exact opposite. I knew I was writing for someone exactly like me, who would be a founder, who would be going through the same challenges. And when you're so clear in who you're writing for and what they may need and what the value that you could bring to them, that brings a lot of motivation to and clarity to write the book.
Yeah, definitely. And one of the things, I guess, which in one respect sounds obvious, but in another way, we see people getting it wrong all the time. I'm a big fan of the show The Apprentice. Are you familiar mm-hmm. with that?
I saw one season, yeah, many years ago, yes.
Yeah, so there's a British version and an American version as well. Uh-huh. But I watched the British version. And towards the end of the process, when there's only a few contestants left, they all have to go to meetings and interviews with top businessmen that are advisors of Lord Sugar, who's the guy who's doing the hiring and firing. And they have to present their business plan. And year after year, these experts look at the business plan, and there's so often crucial bits of information that are missing. And you think, I mean, I wouldn't have a clue how to put a business plan together, but you just kind of imagine that all that information is available online. And if you're wanting to put a product to market, the information is there as to what you need. And I mean, how difficult is it to access all this kind of information?
So, good question. Let me think about this, because business plans could be endless, right? You could write a 100-page business plan, and then someone could ask you something so specific that may not be there. So I think the main elements need to be clear. Why am I doing this? What problem am I trying to solve? Why am I the right person to solve this problem? What is the market? And a couple others. What does the competition look like? And then another very important one is, what are the milestones that we have achieved so far?
Yeah.
And what's next for the company? And then I think it's more important that you show a lot of clarity, let's say clarity and conviction and understanding of the main elements of the business, rather than to think about these very obscure, random questions. That's my quick thing to have very clear of your fundamentals. And then, of course, there's going to come up things that you may not have thought of, because we can't predict everything. And that's when I think the personality of the founder comes into place with having showing flexibility, adaptability, being open. Oh, I didn't think about this. You can always maneuver through the unexpected, but there has to be a lot of, I guess, confidence in the fundamentals.
Yeah. And, you know, as well as needing determination and a lot of hard work in order to make a new business successful, I guess you also have to be aware of knowing when is the right time to let go. If you kind of realize that it's not going to work, that you're not going to be the next
I got it. I wrote a blog post very recently about that, in which I was, let's say, imagine you are a car. So your determination, your grit, that will be your engine, but your steering wheel will be your clarity. And you need this clarity. As founders, we're very motivated, we're very driven, we look forward. But we cannot be blind to the messages that the world is sharing with us. We also need to be receptive, and we need to be able to process information. And sometimes the information may be that the market doesn't need or want what you have, or at least not in the specific way in which it is now. So we need to be receptive to that, because otherwise we're going to live in a parallel reality in which we think we're building something super valuable, but then nobody wants. And it takes out of, let's say, courage and self-honesty. I love that word, to come to terms with the fact that maybe all these years you've been putting all this work into something that the world may not really need. So yes, self-honesty would be key in this sense.
Yeah, it must be difficult to be self-critical of your own ideas. You know, if you've come up with something that you're really excited about and really passionate about, to then have to take it the other way and go, actually, this isn't going to work. I don't think the idea is as good as I thought it was. And that must be really hard.
Yeah, of course, it's really hard. So that's why we'd rather kick the can a little bit further and a little bit further. And the same goes with everything in life, you know, with personal relationships. Sometimes we know it's not working, but we think, oh no, because that 1 week a year in which we get along well, everything is so perfect. But what about the rest? And we just don't want to sit down to address reality, because reality may send us a painful message. And so those are also your options. Do you want to listen to reality, or do you want to live in your imagination, building something that nobody really wants, or building in a fantasy that you have this wonderful relationship that it may not be so incredible?
Yeah. Well, if people want to...
What do you think?
Oh, no, absolutely. It's true. And you're right to relate it to other parts of life. Absolutely. We need to be honest with ourselves about all parts of our lives in order to kind of move forward, move on, and have success in business and relationships. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if people want to get a copy of Crash Course, A Founder's Guide to Saving Your Startup and Sanity, it's available on our website, tre.radio, and it's by Ricardo Jimenez, who we've been chatting with today. Ricardo, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it and look forward to being in your show soon again.
Yes, I hope so. You take care and good luck.
Thank you so much. Ciao.
Talk Radio Europe.
These days, I can do anything from my phone. Book a vacation, order a meal from a 5-star restaurant, buy and trade stocks. But maybe the most amazing thing I can do is make my dirty laundry disappear and then reappear perfectly washed and folded. I have Rinse to thank for that. I just schedule a pickup in the Rinse app or at rinse.com. A Rinse valet comes to get my clothes, and before I know it, they're back, crisply folded and ready to wear. They even do dry cleaning, which is returned hanging in a nice Rinse garment bag. And with Rinse, my satisfaction is guaranteed. If for any reason I'm not happy, they'll re-clean my clothes for free. Best of all, Rinse saves me tons of time each week. That's time I get to do something I love versus something I have to do. So if you want to save loads of time by not doing loads of laundry, remember, there's an app for that. Rinse. Sign up now and get $20 off your first order at rinse.com. That's R-I-N-S-E.com.